96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. What can your eyes say about your health? Well, quite a bit, indeed, more than you might imagine. This is National Minority Health Month, and tonight we're talking about your eyes and the wealth of information they hold. My guests are Dr. Renee Bovell, board-certified ophthalmologist with Envision Eye and Laser Center in Glendale, Maryland, and Dr. Jacqueline Griffiths, board-certified ophthalmologist with the New View Eye Center that's in Reston, Virginia. If you have a question about your eyes, the health of your eyes, or what can be told by the health of your eyes, give us a call right now. Free advice. Go ahead and call 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. And you can also post on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldTFisher, or you can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting us.
Oh, absolutely. Good to have you here. First things first, and I'll start with Dr. Bovell. How can your eyes tell you, a physician, so much about the overall health of a person?
Well, good evening, Harold.
Good evening.
The eyes can tell a lot about your health because it's what we call an end organ. What in the world does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the place where the blood vessels coalesce and the blood vessels meet, the arteries and the veins meet. So everything meets in the eye. That happens in several other organs as well. But because that happens, we're able to actually look inside the eye and see your body in its untouched state and see what's going on.
It's interesting. You say it happens in other organs, but I would imagine just by your description, the eyes are the only place on the body where you have immediate access. Is that correct?
That's right. We can look in a non-invasive manner. It's not like we have to do a kidney biopsy, stick a needle, do a lung biopsy, go down through your throat. We can just dilate your eyes and look in and see what's going on. And that's actually what fascinated me about the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Griffiths, what are you looking for when you first have a patient and you say, you know, open wide, you put the drops in and you take a look? What is the first thing that you are looking for?
Well, I look from front to back. I mean, I look at the appearance of the eyelids. The eyelids tell us a lot about the eyes. Whether they're droopy or not can tell us about the neurologic status of the patient. And we look at the reaction of the pupils. That can tell us something about neurologic status of the patient. And, of course, their symptomatology.
Whoa, I love that word. Multi-syllabic $20 word.
Right, that's true.
What my mother says. What is that?
Well, that's just what they come in complaining about.
Okay.
You know, you have to listen to the patient, what they come in complaining about, and then be the detective and figure out what the problem is. And then we look in to see if we can figure out what their problem is, whether it be cataract, glaucoma, diabetes, hypertension. We can find all kinds of diseases in the eye. A lot of times before the patient even knows they have a systemic disease.
That's interesting. What is the difference between an ophthalmologist and an optometrist? Because a lot of people want to go and, you know, you get glasses and you'll go to an optometrist. But an ophthalmologist, I would imagine you go to for more serious issues. But what is it? Is it education? Is it, you know, what you are allowed to do?
Well, actually, it's all of that. And people get very confused between optician, optometrist, and ophthalmologist. So if I can, I'd like to explain all three of those.
Okay.
The optician is the person that grinds your glasses. They actually make the glasses. They help choose what glasses fit your face and may even help you pick out the glasses. So that's what the optician does. And they have to be certified, and there's a guild of opticianry.
Mm-hmm.
Then the optometrists, those are the people that you find working in, sometimes in retail stores. They can work in other independent offices as well, but they work in retail chains a lot of times, and they go to college, and then after college, they go to optometry school, and in optometry school, they concentrate on the eyes, and they're able to prescribe glasses, and in some states, they're able to prescribe certain types of medications, but they have to go for extra training for that.
And the ophthalmologist.
And then the ophthalmologist, like Dr. Griffiths and I, we go to college, then we go to med school. And we go in med school, we learn all about the human body. We practice surgery, do everything. And then we do an internship where, again, we focus on the entire human body. It can be either medical or surgical or pediatric. And then we spend an additional 3 to 5 years in a residency just focusing on the eye. Mm-hmm. And then we may or may not do a fellowship and get additional subspecialty training just on a certain aspect of the eye.
So with the ophthalmologist, definitely the surgery, doctors for the eyes, specialists, in other words, I would imagine, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay, excellent. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Donna calling from Washington, from Northwest. Hey, Donna, what's on your mind?
Hi. Dr. Griffiths, perhaps you might have a notion about what is going on with my eyes or has been going on for the last approximately 8 months following second cataract surgery in a separate eye. So I had cataract surgery in the left eye, and then I had, and everything was fine, and within 2 weeks I had cataract surgery in the right eye. I actually felt some of the surgery. I don't believe I was properly sedated by the anesthesiologist during the second surgery.
Let me ask you, Donna, what's wrong now and how do you feel?
I am on a I'm on glaucoma medicine as a result of the steroid that I've been taking.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the steroid was to reduce any inflammation, after a while, often one develops a lot of pressure in the eye, i.e. glaucoma in the eye. So what I'm feeling very frustrated because I went to 2 ophthalmologists and they thought perhaps I was allergic to some of the prescriptions that I took.
Donna, let me stop you there because I've got to go to a break. But quickly, even before you try to talk about Donna's situation, quick, short working definition, cataracts, what is it?
A cataract is an opacity of the lens inside the eye.
A what?
It's a haziness, if you will, of the lens inside the eye. The eye is a lot like a camera.
Mm-hmm.
The camera has a lens, so the eye has a lens as well. And the lens in your eye gets hazy as we get older,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a natural part of aging.
Mm-hmm.
So what this caller had, Donna, had cataract surgery to remove the hazy lens and replace it with a clear implant. Because if we remove the lens, we have to replace it. And in Donna's situation, she had increase in pressure after the surgery, which can happen for a variety of reasons, and hopefully it will be short-lived. I think it will be short-lived, Donna.
Hmm.
8 months is not short-lived, Dr. Griffith. I know it sounds that's lovely, and it sounds wonderful, but 8 months of an inflammation and glaucoma?
Well, let me have her try to address that on the other side of this break. Donna, hold on. We'll be back in just a moment. Also, Donna Maria, Melissa, Tia, Will, please stay on the line. We will pick you up even after 7:30 on Sirius XM Channel 141. We're talking about your eyes and what they say about your health. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about your eyes and the wealth of information they hold about your health. My guests are board-certified ophthalmologists Dr. Renee Bovell with Envision Eye and Laser Center in Glendale, Maryland. Also, Dr. Jacqueline Griffiths, also a board-certified ophthalmologist with the New View Eye Center in Reston, Virginia. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise we will get to you even after 7:30. Before the break, we were talking to Donna. She was having issues after cataract surgery. Please, Dr. Griffiths, continue.
Hi, Donna. Without seeing you, it's really, really hard to comment on what's happening in your particular case. But there are rare cases where someone has inflammation for a prolonged period of time. They have to be put on a steroid drop. And steroids in some patients cause an increase in pressure, which has to be treated as well at the same time. But I'm you know, happy to take a look at you if you ever want to come by and give you another opinion.
Another opinion. Without that might be possible because it is, as I said, frustrating. And I appreciate you trying to give me some advice over the phone.
Well, before I let you go, and I need to put this information out there as well, the websites for both doctors, for Dr. Bovell is envisioneyeandlaser.com, envisioneyeandlaser.com. Also for Dr. Griffiths, it is newviewlasereye.com, newviewlasereye.com. Good luck, Donna. Let's go to Donna Maria calling from Silver Spring. Donna Maria, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello. Thank you. I appreciate this topic very much.
Mm-hmm.
My question was about basically your diet and how it affects your eyes, because sometimes I need my glasses, other times I don't. And I'm wondering what my iron levels or my D3 levels, or is there anything I could put into my diet or take out of my diet that may be affecting it, you know, before I go and try to get a stronger dose or get some sort of prescription for something. I was just wondering whether there's something I could add to my diet.
Hello, Donna Maria.
Hello.
That's a very interesting question. And let me ask you a few questions.
Sure.
Do you work at the computer a lot?
Yes.
Okay. Well, one thing that you could be having trouble with is something that we call dry eye syndrome. Well,
okay.
What in the world is that? Well, your eyes make tears, and sometimes they don't make the right kind of tears. And if that happens, that can make your eyes feel dry, irritated, and even affect your vision, causing blurry, intermittent vision, especially when you've been working at the computer from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do in that instance, we can treat you medically, but we also know that it's important to get a lot of the omegas. You've heard of people talk about the omega-3s, the omega-6s.
Yes.
It's important to get that, the fish oil, eating lots of salmon and things like that in your diet. So that's something that can help.
Okay. Check. Thank you very much.
In addition, it also could be a variety of other dietary problems. So it is a good idea to go to an ophthalmologist, see what's causing this problem in vision, and it could just be that you need stronger reading glasses, which is not a bad thing.
Okay. Well, Donna, good luck to you. If you are on the phone, Cynthia, Melissa, Tia, Will, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More about the health of your eyes and the rest of your body in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a bit.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about your eyes and the health information they hold. My guests are Dr. Renee Bovell. She is a board-certified ophthalmologist with Envision Eye and Laser Center. That's in Glendale, Maryland. And Dr. Jacqueline Griffiths, she is also a board-certified ophthalmologist with the New View Eye Center in Reston, Virginia. We are taking your calls tonight about your health, and the lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Okay, before I go back to the phone lines, earlier in the program, Dr. Griffiths mentioned a laundry list of maladies, of health issues that can be seen when looking into the eyes. So you were talking, what, hypertension, diabetes, glaucoma, cholesterol, okay, even high blood pressure, correct?
That is correct, Harry.
Now, here is the big mystery. It's my understanding that you can also see if you have issues of breast cancer. Is that correct?
That is correct.
What about brain tumors?
Yes.
All through the eyes?
Yes.
How is that possible? And let's take the breast cancer, which I find amazing. What are you looking for? What do you see that makes you say this person may have breast cancer, may be a candidate, however you would describe that?
Well, what we're talking about is metastatic breast cancer, and a metastatic breast cancer in the eye would have a particular appearance in the retina.
Okay, so to the layman, what would you see?
So a metastatic means it's spread from the breast to the eye.
Ah, okay.
And we can see signs of that in the eye. And in the retina is in the back of the eye, so we'd look through after dilation and we would see evidence of that.
So I would imagine when it gets to that point that it has the level that a patient may have is advanced?
Yes.
I see. Okay, but isn't it possible that patient may already know that there is an issue before it spreads to the eye?
In most cases, for breast cancer, that would be the case, yeah.
I see. Let's talk about some other issues. So both of you are, as we said, surgeons as well. There's been so much information out there with laser surgery. People who weren't able to see very well before, they have laser surgery, and then they're 20/20. You can see a speck of lint on a tick's rump at 100 yards, standing on a hound dog. So, what happens? Because, and I speak from experience, because I've had LASIK surgery. It did not stay for long. It stayed with me for about 4 years, and then it was done. What happened? Anybody have any idea?
Well, again, that's something that we would have to look directly at your eye and see why that happens. But usually with laser correction surgery, we correct for distance.
Mm-hmm.
And we let the patients know that they will need glasses for reading. So it's possible that you still have good vision for distance. And then we let people know that you'll need vision for reading.
Mm-hmm. Is it better? Is it better now than perhaps it was 5 years ago? Have things changed as far as the technology, procedures?
Well, we're always in medicine, always making new strides and always learning more. And the technology for LASIK actually came from the Hubble telescope.
Mm-hmm.
And LASIK and laser vision is what Dr. Griffith specializes in. So I'd like to hear what she has to say about that.
Well, we've made all kinds of advances in laser vision correction over the last 20 years. And in the last 5 years, we've made some incremental changes, nothing mind-shattering because the results were so outstanding even 5 or 10 years ago. So nothing really, really new in the last 5 years to improve upon really great results.
Who would you say laser surgery is not for? Who is a poor candidate?
A poor candidate for laser vision correction would be someone with a thin cornea, someone who has an abnormal cornea, A cornea. The cornea is the front part of the eye, the clear part, and we do what we call mapping of the cornea to see if it's abnormal. And someone who has maybe a certain type of disease that would make them a risky candidate for this this surgery. One of those diseases is a corneal disease called keratoconus, which is a progressive thinning of the cornea. They would not be an ideal candidate for the surgery. Someone who already has cataracts would not be an ideal candidate for this surgery.
Okay, interesting. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Melissa calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Melissa, what's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple quick questions. And the first one would be, about 6 weeks ago, I woke up, it was on a Sunday morning, and I had a floater in my right eye, and I didn't know what was going on. And I just thought there was some, you know, something just in my eye. And, you know, the next week I had an eye doctor appointment already scheduled, my annual. So, you know, and I was told by the eye doctor, it's not a big deal. You know, everybody gets them, and it's normal. But I was just curious as to what causes those. And, you know, I still have it. It's every day. It's just going crazy. And then my second question is, all these supplements that they make for eye care, like these supplements I've seen with lutein, is that something that, you know, would be helpful to take, or is that, you know, not really necessary?
Well, good evening, Melissa. Actually, floaters are very interesting. They are a nuisance, and like your eye doctor said, most of the time it's just a nuisance. However, if you ever see a whole lot of floaters all at once, if you have pain with the floaters, or especially if you see flashes of light, then you have to go and see your ophthalmologist right away. That's actually what we call an emergency. That's related to ophthalmology. And the reason why is because that can be a sign of a retinal detachment. So what does that mean? Well, when we're first born, there's a jelly-like substance in the back of the eye called vitreous. And it's usually about the consistency of a raw egg white. And it's very sticky, like a raw egg white. And as time passes and we get wiser, the vitreous changes from a jelly-like sticky substance to a more watery substance. And as it undergoes that change, it pulls on the retina. And also, you can see little bits of protein floating around in it. And that is what actually are the floaters. So you have to watch it. Eventually, your mind blocks them out and you don't notice them so much anymore. But the take-home message is that if you see a whole lot of them and if they're accompanied by flashes of light, you have to see your ophthalmologist.
Why is a flash of light or why are flashes of light problematic?
Because that is suggestive of possible pulling on the retina. There could be a possible tear, and that could lead to a retinal detachment. Mm-hmm. And the retina should remain flat against the eye, not pulled up.
Mm-hmm. She also asked about supplements, and that kind of dovetails into a question asked earlier. First of all, supplements, I mean, is there a vitamin, a supplement that somebody should take to help increase the health of the eye? Or,
well, I'm not sure I should be the one to answer this question because I'm not a real vitamin person. But there are vitamins that are suggested that contain lutein that are suggested for dry macular degeneration. And I do believe those are helpful for dry macular degeneration. Now, from that, some of these vitamins have been touted for just general use for the eye as well. And how do you feel about those, Dr. Bavel?
I actually feel that it is a good thing to take the supplements. The National Eye Institute, which is part of NIH, did a study called the AREDS study, and that was for macular degeneration. And they did find some help, maybe some protection for certain types of people who have a precursor or have macular degeneration of the dry type. And I think with our diet, I don't think that it can hurt. So I think it's important if your ophthalmologist suggests that you take them. I think it's good to ask your ophthalmologist which brand they recommend. Additionally, the National Eye Institute also looked at the omegas in relation to dry eye, and they found that that can be of help. So I think our diet now is unfortunately so poor. And even if we try to eat all the good fruits and vegetables, sometimes even the soil that the fruits and vegetables are grown in is not good anymore. So we're not getting the same kind of nutrients that our grandparents did.
Mm, interesting. Melissa, thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it. One question, wives' tale or not, carrots, good for your eyes or not?
They're good for your eyes.
Are they really good? I mean, will I be, you know, if I start eating a bag of carrots, am I going to be able to see through a wall or not?
Absolutely, Harold.
Okay.
and your green leafy vegetables.
Okay. So that's not a myth.
That is not a myth.
Okay.
That is not a myth.
Okay. Raw or cooked, does it matter?
They're all good. Okay. Any way you can get them, take them.
Okay, well, there you go. Just make sure you eat your carrots. I've always wondered about that.
Your grandmother was right.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to go home and cook some carrots tonight. Let's talk a little bit. We mentioned computers earlier, but also smartphones. Everybody has them. You both have them, I'm quite sure. What effect does that have on our eyesight? Is it really how bad is it?
I would say that the general use of these smartphones, laptops, the tablets, and in general, we're all using computers at the office. It used to be we went to the office, then we came home, and then all of that was shut down. But now it continues on through the evening. It starts first thing in the morning. So we're using our eyes a lot more. So there's a lot more eye strain going on and a lot more dry eye going on compared to. I've never seen so many patients with dry eye in my earlier days of practice than I see now. And I'm sure it's related to the increased use of these devices.
Is it watching the screen? Is it the small print? Is it the light? Is there something that can be done to help counteract the negative effects of looking at laptops and, you know, iPads and smartphones and the like?
I think part of it is you're not blinking when you're looking at them. There's definitely a decrease in the blink reflex, and blinking causes you to have more tears in your eyes. So if you're not blinking, your eyes dry out.
Hmm. You were about to say, Dr. Bovell.
Yes, and also what listeners can do when you're at your desk at work, make sure that you're sitting higher than your computer. So you should be looking down a little bit with your computer instead of looking up and having to open your eyes wider. And people also may notice that they may start to need stronger reading glasses, and that's because we're focusing at close up a lot more, and that sometimes can cause people to get more nearsighted. Sometimes that can happen because we're doing it for so long, for so many years.
I need to take another break. When we come back, we'll talk to Cynthia from Clinton and Tia from Leesburg. Stay with us, 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We're talking about the health of your eyes and what part it plays in the health of the rest of your body. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. In observance of National Minority Health Month, we're talking about your eyes and the wealth of information they hold about your health. Let me go back to the phone lines with Tia. Tia calling from Leesburg. Tia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening, Harold, Dr. Bodell, and Dr. Griffin. How y'all doing?
Okay, okay.
Hi, my issue is that for years, like, I've been out of high school since I was, for about 14 years now, and I blink more than the average person. I was told once that it was a sign of high intelligence, but I don't think that's the case. I had a vision test, and I, you know, have 20/20 vision. I don't wear glasses, and this has been going on for years, and I was just wondering, what could that entail? Because I've only seen an optometrist once in my whole life.
Ladies.
Good evening, Tia. Well, sure that you're extremely intelligent.
Absolutely.
However, I have not seen any studies that associate blink rate with intelligence. However, the blink rate, that could just be your normal blink rate, which is just like everyone has a normal breathing rate. If you've been to an ophthalmologist and they haven't said there's a problem, then that's just you. Some people have freckles and some people don't.
If it's an abnormal amount of blinking, though, it could be a sign of a condition called blepharospasm, which develops later in life, and it can be treated with Botox if it's really a problem. But we would have to see you to evaluate that.
If it's causing a decrease in your function, if it's causing you problems driving because your eyes are remaining closed more often than not, then Dr. Griffiths is right. That is a problem.
Okay. Well, Tia, thank you so much for your phone call. Cynthia, calling from Clinton, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking the call. I have a 33-year-old son who was just diagnosed with ocular MG. I'd never heard of it before until he was diagnosed. It took about 30 days before they actually diagnosed him. He'd gone to an ophthalmologist, and the person who did diagnose him was an ophthalmologist, neurologist. My question is, I know it's a treatable disease, but not a curable disease. He was on steroids for about 7 days, and it cleared up, and he was off for only a week, and the double vision came back, but the droopy eye did not come back. So now they put him on something called Afinine. I'm not sure what it is, but I believe that the only side effects of this one would be nausea. My question to you is should he go to some place like the Wilcox Center or an eye center that would specialize in this type of disease?
Either one.
Well, ma'am, your son has what you call ocular myasthenia gravis.
Right.
Yes. And
what is it?
That is actually a neurologic condition. And that's one of the problems that Dr. Griffiths mentioned earlier when she said that we can see neurologic problems from the droopiness of the eye. And this is a condition where the muscles in and about the eye get weak. And sometimes they're weaker, sometimes they're not as weak. And it can also occur in the muscles that control the movements of the eye. So whether the eye can look to the right or look to the left, up
happens.
And down.
Exactly.
So what happens is sometimes one of the muscles that, let's say, makes the eye move to the right may get weak, and then he has double vision.
Right.
Other times,
is that also contributing to lazy eye or anything like that?
Well, it can be called lazy eye, but this is a condition that develops later in life. Usually lazy eye, as we use that layman's term, it occurs when you're born or a young child.
So what should she do?
Well, you did the right thing. This is a difficult eye problem to diagnose. So it's great that you went to a neuro-ophthalmologist, and that's who we usually suggest. If we're thinking of that, you go to see that type of doctor. So I'm sure that doctor who made that diagnosis did an excellent job. If you want further treatment or a second opinion, and it's always fine to get a second opinion in a serious condition like this, I would say Johns Hopkins or the Wills Eye Center in Philadelphia are great places to go to.
Okay. Well, Cynthia, good luck to you and good health, certainly to your son. Mary, calling from Clinton, Maryland. Go ahead, Mary. What's on your mind?
Hi. I am calling to ask a question in reference to my mom. Mm-hmm. It's been more over probably almost 2 years now. She is currently going blind, and I know she do have cataract, and she have glaucoma, and they're also saying, and I might not pronounce it right, pigmentosa in the eye.
Retinitis pigmentosa.
Pigmentosa. And, okay, we have taken her to several doctors. When we take her to her eye doctor, it's funny because she can still read the readings, but my mom really cannot see, and we just don't get it. And they're not really helping her, so we don't know what to do, and it's bringing her down really bad because she had good days and she had really, really bad days.
Well, thank you for your call. I'm so sorry your mom is going through so much, and she has three really awful things that she's dealing with, but two of those are things that we can definitely handle. Retinitis pigmentosa is a genetic condition that is something that will progress along, and depending on what stage it's at, will determine, you know, what the effects will be. Retinitis pigmentosa is a disease of the retina that affects the cells that are responsible for us seeing light, and they can cause a darkening of the vision over time.
Yes,
they primarily affect the side vision, and they can cause a constriction of the vision up until, you know, the very end, and cause kind of a tunnel type vision. If you have a cataract on top of that, the cataract is in the front of the eye in the lens part. The cataract is an opacity or a haziness of the lens, as we discussed earlier. So that can cause a problem with the central vision. The problem with taking the cataract out in a retinitis pigmentosa patient is that patient can develop fluid in that very central area of the retina after the cataract is taken out. But the simple answer to that is just to pre-treat. The glaucoma is an altogether different issue, which also affects the peripheral vision. But I think all of those things can be handled separately. And give your mom some hope. And at the end of the day, there are several places where she could go for low vision help and aids to help her with the vision that she has.
Okay, well.
And one thing I'd like to mention, this is your mom. So sometimes, as Dr. Griffiths mentioned, these diseases are genetic,
yes,
and run in families.
Yes.
So you, your brothers and sisters, mm-hmm, you all need to make sure that you see an ophthalmologist,
yes,
as well.
Yes, we've been told that, and so I try to go every year. Right now my eyes are getting bad from the computer, so I'm just basically wearing reading glasses.
Well, Mary, I hope that my guests have been able to offer you some advice and something to consider when taking care of not only your health, but also your mother's health. Thank you so much for your phone call. Let me go to Jay. Jay calling from Washington. Go ahead, Jay. What's on your mind?
I'm interested in finding out the difference between the Alphagan eye drop and the Betamol. Is one better than the other, or is it just a simple matter of the doctor's prescription as far as what they think is better?
Okay, what is she referring to, first of all?
She's referring to drops that are used to treat glaucoma.
Okay.
Glaucoma is a disease of the optic nerve by definition, and it's a disease that most people know is too high pressure in the eye. The pressure is too high in the eye, so we have to lower the pressure. We lower the pressure by using drops. These are two of the more popular drops used by ophthalmologists.
And what are they again?
She's talking about Alphagan P and Betamol, I believe she said, is the second one. And they have two different mechanisms of the way they lower the pressure. And it really depends on the patient and the mechanism of the glaucoma, which drug is more appropriate to use. Sometimes we'll use both.
Okay, so it depends on the person and what you feel may be most appropriate for their physiology.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the most important thing, ma'am, is if your doctor instructed you to take one or both of those drops, you have to take them. And this brings us to a very interesting discussion on glaucoma. Glaucoma is a disease that affects Africans and African Americans in very, very high numbers. And we like to say that it steals your vision like a thief in the night. So many people don't even know that they have glaucoma until it's too late. And the reason why is because, like retinitis pigmentosa, it affects the side vision. And as our side vision goes, we don't realize it because when someone calls our name on the left or the right, we turn our head. We don't just look straight ahead and then try to see them out of our peripheral vision. So please, if your ophthalmologist is instructing you to take those medicines, you have to take them exactly as they say.
Thank you so much. And Jay, good luck to you real quick, because I'm really down on time. For those who may have the, you know, glaucoma, you know, trait or have it in their family, but they have healthy eyes, how often should they have their eyes examined?
If someone has a family history of glaucoma, they should be seen by the ophthalmologist at least once a year. Mm-hmm. This is a slow progressive disease, but we want to be able to catch it early. It is treatable by a variety of ways. There's lots of different drops we can use. There's laser that we can use, and sometimes there's even surgery. But in order to take advantage of that, you have to see your ophthalmologist. And one other thing I'd like to mention, if you have high blood pressure, you have to see your ophthalmologist because you can get a stroke in the eye.
Mm. That is important. We could talk another hour about this. Unfortunately, we don't have another hour, but I wanted to make sure that we have the doctor's information for you. For Dr. Renee Bovell, her website is envisioneyeandlaser.com. That's envisioneyeandlaser.com. And for Dr. Griffiths, it is newviewlasereye.com. And certainly, I will be posting this on the Daily Drum blog tonight, as well as portions of tonight's discussion. Ladies, thank you so much. Very, very informative. And I hope that we've been able to help some folks out there who are concerned about their eye health, as well as the rest of them. Dr. Bovell and Dr. Griffiths, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, April 21st. I'm Harold Fisher. You can